Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
And welcome back to the Bobby Dooley, to the Phil Hendry Show, and I am Bobby Dooley filling in tonight on This Is Bobby Dooley, and my husband Steve Dooley is here, and Steve is doing some, I guess they say, and I was just told, by the way, Steve, and you said...
Well, I just, you know, because Mr. Hall said...
And Mr. Hall said, don't go, and I just caught myself doing that.
Well, just, you know, a couple times.
So I've got not, is that right? I've not got, me got not,
You're not going to go,
Right, but I'm not going to say you're not going to go, So how would I say that in first person? Doing radio announcing or doing what I'm doing, which is a podcast, or what is this?
Broadcast.
The broadcast... It's really, really neat, and it's really, really fun, but it's also, so I'm not going to do, well, anyway, welcome to part two, hour two of This Is Bobby Dooley. Phil Hendry will be back. I'm not sure when he's going to be back, but he said that he was taking a business trip, and... He left it open-ended, so we're not really sure. We talked in the first hour here on This Is Bobby. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention, and I want to mention this because it's very important. The podcast, which is what I've been trying to say, the podcast that we do, I want to give you the address of the podcast that we do. And once you know what it is, then you'll know. https://: my husband is so childish. https://itunes.apple.com/us/
Not supposed to read all that.
Well, if I'm not supposed to read all of that, what am I supposed to read? I can tell you this, everybody, if you're listening. The Bobby Dooley podcast is on iTunes, and it's on also SoundCloud. So that's the best place to go and get it, because I cannot read all of what they have done written down, what they did write down there. I can't read all of it. So last hour we talked about relationships and husbands having sex with their daughters. And I mean not husbands, fathers having sex with their nieces. What did we say? I'm so...
No. Daughter having sex with her...
Well, we're so confused. It's been such a... I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Really, what we were talking about is how to raise children the best way. And it had something to do with the sexual relations you'll have with a child. I just don't know if it was the niece or the son, or I forget now, but be that as it may.
Right.
So that's one way of keeping a family, keeping the ship righted in the very stormy times that we live in. And gosh knows we do live in very stormy times. Here is a story that reminded me so much of my own sons. I have three sons. Dylan, Seth, and Justin, I love all three of them desperately, deeply, madly. I would go to the ends of the earth for them, as you would for your own children. I don't even want to get into what I would do for my sons. But I know that all of you out there listening, you would do the same for your kids. It's just nothing that you want to talk about, because it can get into very graphic things, you know.
Well, I mean, you're talking about defending your family.
Yes, you are. You're talking about defending your family. You're talking about defending your children and doing your very best for your children. And what would that be? Well, you know, and I know that it's going to get into very graphic and violent imagery. But suffice it to say that what I would do for my sons,
people would vomit.
What'd you say, Steve?
People would vomit.
I think that's fair. I think it's fair to say people would vomit. People would vomit. And you know something? Let me just back up. Because there's a lot of people saying, you know, oh my God, you know, why did she say that? Well, think about it. Think about it. Are you telling me it would be any different for what you would do? Of course not. You do everything for your children, even to the point of savaging another human being and causing the first responders to vomit, even as they were getting out of their black and whites.
Yeah.
And I know it's really bad. I know it's really bad to say that, but we want to talk a little bit about that this hour with Rydell Gershman, who is the author of Anything for Brian, a bestseller that he wrote while he was in jail. He had committed the act of arson. He had burned a home to the ground with four people in it. In a case of mistaken identity, because they did find your son, Brian, healthy, didn't they, Rydell? And
yeah, please call me Rye, too, Bobby, because I want everyone to be on a very informal basis with me, but please call me Rye.
All right, Rye. Let's talk about the book, Everything for Brian. The title says it all. You went all in for your son.
Yes, I did. I would do it again. And the mistake I made was I had the wrong address. It is a mistake, one of those small mistakes that you'll make in life that can change everything. It changed everything for me and my family. It changed everything for my son, Brian, who does not have his father with him now.
And where are you speaking to us from right now, Rydell?
I'm at the Minnesota State Corrections, Stillwater.
You're in Stillwater, Minnesota?
Yes.
Where were you living when, what happened to Brian that caused your, as you say in the book, Everything for Ryan, you said you went on the warpath.
What I did, Bobby, and thank you for asking, you'd be surprised even after writing a book and putting into this book the number of hours that I did, you'd be surprised at how few people ask why you did what you did. Why did I take a 10-gallon can of gasoline and a 10-gallon can of kerosene? Why did I take slow-burning fuses? Why did I take quarter sticks of dynamite, plant them in strategic spots around the foundation of the Nurban home, and then proceed to ignite this deadly mixture? Why? I did it at that home because I had been given the wrong address by my neighbor and dear friend, Claude Field. And I did it at that home because I was angry at the fact that my son, a disabled boy, was maltreated by his Cub Scout troop. Would I do it again? Yes. Only this time, I'd do it at the right house.
And you're saying that knowing that you would go back to prison?
Yes. I'm saying that knowing I'd go back to prison, yes.
Rydell Gershon is our guest who wrote Everything for Brian. In it, he describes using low-level explosives as well as accelerant, two kinds of accelerant, to burn a neighbor's home down, and in it, four individuals, in a case of mistaken identity. You were attempting to burn down the home of a Cub Scout dem mother.
Yes.
That you say had abused, and I have no reason to doubt you. There's nothing you've said gives me any reason to doubt you. I think maybe what you did was extreme, but let's get back to that. Why did you feel that your son, first of all, what is the nature of your son's disability?
My son, Brian, is very, I'll give it to you as straight as I can. He is my son, Brian, is a very special boy. On top of the fact that Brian is a exceedingly intelligent boy, he has a very bright red hair and a very thick field of freckles across his face. And my son also has committed the horrible crime of knowing how intelligent he is and has taken to lecturing his fellow students. These are young people his age, 8-year-old. They're third graders at the elementary school that he attends. And so in standing and holding forth at during recess with this shock of red hair, freckles, braces, an air about him of superiority, cutting people off, pointing his finger at them, and basically trying to straighten out a lot of very, very, very lost young boys and young girls. These children are lost. And my son Brian tried to lead them out of this fog they're in by holding these lectures at recess. Well, it came to pass that a couple of these boys began to formulate some plan that when they went bowling, the Cub Scout troop was going to be taken bowling by this Mrs. Erdehard, who was the den mother.
This is the woman's house that you wanted to burn down.
That is correct. Mrs. Erdehard then took the kids bowling and proceeded to, I think she had targeted my son Brian, and proceeded to argue with him about his score. Now, it doesn't seem like a very big thing, but Brian knows what his bowling score is. I can just tell you this. I can't prove it to you, Bobby, and I can't, but just trust me when I tell you, my son knows when he says that a spare and a strike and a split and so on and so forth amounts to this much, just believe him. Just trust him. Don't argue with him. Because he's right. Because in the 8 years that I've known that boy, he's never been wrong. Never been wrong in the way that we've disciplined him, in the way that we've talked to him, in answers we've given him. He's corrected us many times, and I'll be damned to hell if he hasn't been right most of the time.
So your son knows an awful lot and probably knows more than most adults.
Well, he knows more than this den mother. So when she kept arguing with him about this bowling score, and he, I believe, said to her or referred to her at one point as woman. He said, woman, I'm telling you, and that is what got her goat, and he was sent back to the Cub van where he had to sit out the rest of a bowling tournament that he was winning and winning very handsomely. Now, these are 8-year-olds. I'm not expecting them to be champions.
Hold on for just a moment, if you could, Rydell, because we do have to take a break.
Yes, of course.
Rydell Gershon is my guest. He is the author of Everything for Brian. And we're talking about what would you do for your son or your daughter? What lengths would you go to fight for them and stand up for them? Well, we feel that we, Steve and I, would go a long way. We would go, but Mr. Gershon burned the Cub Scout den mother's home down because she tried to correct his son and tell him that he didn't pick up a spare when Mr. Gershon says he did. This is Bobby Dooley on The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Also, can the I Phil get Hendry a Show. Cup of cocoa? Just a cup of warm cocoa. I think I called ahead for that.
We'll do everything we can, sir.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. My name is Bobby Dooley. I am filling in for Phil this evening on a show that we like to call This Is Bobby Dooley. And we do encourage you to visit wherever you go to get your podcasts. Are you listening to podcasts? Do you like to listen to the podcast? Will certainly avail yourself of the podcast that we do called the Bobby Dooley Podcast. It's produced by the Sideshow Network, and it's available on iTunes and other places.
Where they're available.
Where they're available, that's exactly right. Rydell Gershon, who's written the book Everything for Brian, the story of his son Brian. And we're talking about defending our children to the very last breath. And Steve and I have been able to define it this way, that we would do to anyone that hurt our child something so bad, the first responders would throw up.
I heard that. I agree with that. And I endeavored to do that. Now, you don't want that to be your goal, but you do want that to be a part of the result. You want to send the message that if you want to send a message to my child, then I'm going to send a message to you. And the message I send to you is going to be delivered with a rapidity, with an accuracy, with a force, and with a, I don't know, a rapidity? I guess I said rapidity, didn't I?
You did. You could, with an explosiveness.
With an explosiveness of purpose.
And a force, which is also something you said.
Yeah, with an explosiveness of purpose, I think, is going to be explosive and, well, now I'm starting to...
But we know what you mean. You're saying nobody, and I mean nobody, messes with my kid. Now, I've been in, and I'm not proud of this, but I've been in actual physical fights and altercations when people have tried to step between me and my sons, because there's an old saying, Steve.
Yeah, don't get me between a dog and his meat.
What's that again?
You don't get between a dog and a meat.
You don't get between a dog and a...
You don't get between a dog and his...
Don't get between a dog and his meat. Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. I live by those words. And if I'm lucky, I'll die by those words. Now, I'm in prison. I'm in a maximum security prison with some of the most hardened criminals in the upper Midwest in this region of the United States. I'm in the Stillwater maximum security prison here in Minnesota. These are some bad boys. These are some tough customers. And you don't go anywhere in this place without looking over your shoulder. But I do it all again. If this woman, Devane or Elderman, I'm trying to pin the name down. It was one of three den mothers. One of three den mothers.
So she was a mother of a Cub Scout.
But a specific mother, a den mother. And when she told my son Brian, who is a young man with a shock of red hair, that field of freckles, he wears starched white shirts because he insists on them, not because his mother necessarily wants to do his shirts that way, but that's the kind of boy he is. He has a plastic retainer. Yes, he has all of the accoutrements that you would think of when a young child is what we traditionally refer to as a dork or a geek.
Like a bookworm or something.
A bookworm, yeah. Only there's one difference. Not only does he look like the bookworm, but he will... He has no problem telling kids what's what. And Brian was there every recess telling these kids what's up. He had a crowd of third graders around him, and he would tell them where it was at.
And they listened.
And they listened. And I think these den mothers resented that. And finally, she had her breaking point. She went over to my son at the bowling tournament and said, "You didn't pick up that spare." And I asked my son, I said, "Brian, don't lie. Did you pick up that spare? It was a split." He said, "As sure as God made green apples." Those were his words, not mine. His words, not mine.
And, okay, so what did he say again?
As sure as God made green apples.
As sure as God made green apples.
Yes. He picked up that, and that's when she said, and that's when he said, "Woman, step off." And then it was on, and...
And that's when she sent him out to the van.
She sent him to the Cub van, yeah.
Now, what is the Cub van?
The Cub van is simply what they call the van that transports the Cub. You're a Cub. You make it to the level of Cub Scout. A lot of people don't know this. You are only a Cub Scout when you have been fitted for your bandana. Before you're fitted for the bandana, you're a Cub. You're nothing more than a Cub, which basically means you're a little baby. You're nothing. You're nothing. And he had been, and her son, by the way, is a Cub, and my son made it to Scout with a fitted bandana. He had 3 merit badges. They ought to give him a 4th, which is the merit badge in, "Hello, I picked up the split. Do you have eyes?" Hello, I...
All right, listen, Rydell, you're an amazing man. You have... There's so much more to tell about your story. The book is called Everything for Brian, Rydell Gershon. It's an amazing story. Thank you, Rydell.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm hoping that I can have a book signed.
Well, welcome, everyone. I'm Bobby Dilley, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Bobby Dilley, is the show that this is, that what we're doing, and Phil will be back very soon. We do know that he is on the road, Steve.
Yeah, Phil's on the road.
And I don't know if that means he's on vacation, but he had a suitcase in his hand, and we dropped him off at the Union Pacific Station.
Yeah, we're downtown.
And he was very hastily got on board the train and waved, and that was it. And I said to him, "When will you be back?" And he sort of smiled and said, "Hard to say." And I just put all of that together. What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's just going to be on vacation.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting. He had a very hastily packed leather suitcase.
Yeah, his T-shirt was hanging out.
Yeah, and there were like parts of T-shirt hanging out, as if he very hastily threw clothes into it, slammed it shut. He said, "Can you give me a lift to Union Station?" So it wasn't even the airport.
Now, a lot of people are going on to take a train ride.
Yes, a lot of people are taking train rides. Yes, I'll give you that. I'll grant you that. Okay.
Yeah.
But what is he trying to pull? In other words, why don't you take a plane when you're on the radio and you're semi-famous? I don't know.
I don't know, but a lot of people take trains.
Steve, I know a lot of people take trains. And you know something? I don't want to expose people to our arguments.
No.
But I'm just saying, I know a lot of people take trains. But Phil Hendry was on the train laughing and hard to say, and the suitcase. Anyway, the last we saw Phil, he was hanging out the door there of the sleeper car, waving. And was that a flask?
Well, he pulled something from his pocket.
He pulled something from his pocket, and I saw him unscrew a cap.
And he did, and he waved and... laughed, and then...
He laughed, and then he took a drink on it, so... All right, we're talking about kids and what you would do, and we do again want to thank Rydell Gershon, his wonderful book, Everything for Brian. Rydell is now in a maximum security prison because he stood up for his son. He burned down a home, killing 4 men who were playing cards or something, and it came out that it was the wrong home. And it was a big cluster, you know what, as they say in the military. Here's another story. A Minnesota school district locked down several... Look at all these Minnesota stories.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I really don't know. But Minnesota is very interesting. On the one hand, it has peaceful and very... There's prairies and there is wild rice. And they have just everything in Minnesota that's peaceful and...
With a lot of the prairies.
A lot of prairies and a lot of lakes.
Yes.
And that's on the one hand, lakes and prairies, the wild rice. And I was trying to think of what else they have in Minnesota. They have the wild rice, lakes, prairies.
Ice, snow?
Well, there's ice, there's snow, there's lakes.
Hockey?
But hockey is not naturally occurring. I'm thinking of naturally occurring... You know? Well, that's good enough. So when you go to Minnesota and you are in this lovely land of rice and...
Lakes.
Lakes and everything, you don't expect some 12-year-old boy to be so treated that he is suspected and perhaps even rightfully so arrested for making a prank phone call, having his wits scared clear out of his skull. The police, I guess, in Minnesota are having a difficult time finding something exciting to do because this boy, because he made a prank phone call, was arrested.
Oh.
Was taken down to the station. Was, I don't know what they did. But just because he made a prank phone call. Now, let's think about this. Our boys were arrested, not arrested. Our boys were brought in by the LA County Sheriff 1 year. And this was a very big deal for our neighbors. And we said, you know something, until you have three boys the quality of ours, why don't you just butt out?
Yeah, my wife said that, and I really am very proud of her.
Thank you, honey.
I'm very proud. She said, you just butt out. Our boys, don't worry.
Yeah, I said, don't worry about it. Our boys, and they were brought in. What were they doing? They were spray painting something on the Jewish, on the synagogue. And I don't know. It was a swastika or something. Okay, yes, that's bad. It's also very young.
Yeah.
It's very young. And, pardon me.
Very emotional.
I'm sorry, but I just remember when I was young. And I remember, disabling a wheelchair ramp. And it was a harmless prank. I didn't mean anything. There was a girl that had multiple dystrophy. She came rolling out of a 4-H meeting. And we disabled the ramp, and the brakes failed on the...
Yeah, on the wheelchair.
On the wheelchair. And there she was, her hair flying in the wind. And, you know, and it was funny.
I'm sorry, honey.
Well, the thing that makes me so upset is she was fine. She ran into a... there was a... some garbage cans at the bottom of this ramp, and she sailed through those and then sailed through a couple of shopping carts. Eventually, the wheelchair came to stop in some shrubbery. But she was not hurt. She wasn't hurt other than the fact that she was obviously scared. I think she'd soiled herself and so forth. But there was no physical damage. Yes, it was quite a ride.
Well, that was what you taught. That's what you Tonga bird. That's what you meant to do.
That's what we meant to do. Well, my God, you would have thought that my name was Ed Gein.
And for the audience, what's Ed Gein?
Ed Gein was the man that they wrote the book about Anthony Perkins about.
Psycho.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. And they treated me like, and I'm sorry for being emotional, but I know a lot of you have been through this. The girl's name was Lucille, I think. She was, everybody thought she was just a big mouth. She thought she was so special because she had, you know, muscular sclerosis. And of course you're not special, and of course you should be treated with Christian charity. But she wasn't hurt. She went down the wheelchair ramp. The brakes failed. She went through a couple of shopping carts. She bounced off the front end of Mr. Colicos' car. Isn't that right when I told you the story?
Well, I know. He's a teacher.
She bounced off the front fender of his car. She slammed into the front end of the school Studebaker. The wheelchair spun, did a 360, and then continued down the parking lot, which was at a very steep trajectory, smashed through, I forget what was going on there. There was some kids that were meeting and eventually came to rest in some rose bushes. But what I'm saying is this. When a child is trying to...
Come on, honey.
When a child is trying to have fun and enjoy their life, and you send the police to the point where they soil themselves,
Yeah, but the other kid did too.
I don't care, Steve. She's in a wheelchair. Everyone treats her like she's some big deal, special deal.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't in wheelchairs. We were regular kids. We were regular, fully locomotive.
Choo-choo.
Steve, that's not funny. It's not funny.
Sorry.
I told you the first time when I said that we have full locomotion, you don't go choo-choo. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And I was the one that was taken to the police. So when my sons were brought in by the L.A. County Sheriff for spray painting this insignia on the synagogue, I said, you know something, lighten up.
Yeah.
You know, I did. I said that to that one sheriff's deputy, Mervelson. I said, lighten up. And he's all, oh, well, Miss Dooley, do you understand hate crimes? I said, lighten up. And he's all, well, you know, these police officers, God knows they do a great job. But don't try to tell me about my son. So here's a little boy who was trying to relieve some pressure, some tension. He calls in a bomb threat.
Yeah.
And what do? They bring out the Minnesota Gestapo. Your thoughts. 877-887. What's this number?
877-87.
Well, you probably know. Hi, you're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Hello, it's Lloyd.
Yes, ma'am, this is Lloyd. Bonafide, I'm in Alhambra, California. Now, the comments that you made about the Gestapo, let me tell you something, if I could.
Now, I was talking about the Minnesota Gestapo.
Yes, okay. Let me tell you something. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy at the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time...
Mm-hmm.
And if you would please not go, uh-huh.
Well, I'm just listening.
Yes, please do. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy.
Mr. Gestapo, wasn't in Korea.
And would you allow me to finish? Yes, I know they weren't in Korea. I know they weren't in Korea. And if you'll let me finish my story.
Mm-hmm.
The Gestapo was German.
Yes, and the Korean War was in Korea. Give me a break. Oh, God, get him.
Yeah.
I understand that, ma'am. If you want to make this into a joke, I know I was in Korea.
Then what does the Gestapo...
If you'll allow me, you are the one that called the Miami police... Not the Miami. It starts with an M. What was it?
Well, if you weren't listening...
Yeah, we're not going to tell you.
Well, I don't care. It started... It was Michigan or Miami. You said...
No, it wasn't either one.
I don't care. You said that the Gestapo dragged this child into... This kid called in a bomb threat. Now, I happen to know about the Gestapo.
Well, why? Were they vacationing in Korea?
Were they vacationing in Korea? Oh, baby, this is gonna take some time.
Well, you know what? Can you hang on then, Lloyd? Because we do have to take a break.
Well,
Well, that man is almost apoplectic, but you know something? I do stand up for myself, and he's just dead wrong about the Gestapo and everything.
Yeah, well, I think he's got to be kidding.
It does seem like that. It seems like it's one of those prank calls.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. This is Bobby Dooley and my husband Steve here on the Phil Henry Show, and this is Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
But
the
they
Phil Henry Show.
And they had a Korean version of that when those were the state police found that in 19...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back, everyone, here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Bobby Dooley, and we're filling in this evening for Phil. My husband Steve is here. I am here. And for those of you who are not aware of Steve and myself and our many projects. We are on the Homeowners Association board at Western Estates. I am the president, and Steve is the vice president. Western Estates Homeowners Association is located in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles, and is really in an area of the city that used to be called, it was Canoga Park, right, Steve?
Yeah, Canoga Park. And then one day, well...
Well, we don't have to tell them the whole story.
Yeah, well, it was...
So the people got together and said they didn't want to be Canoga Park because Canoga Park was, and this is with the greatest of respect and the greatest of love and charity to our neighbors there, but Canoga Park was becoming a little gang-related, you know?
It was.
It was becoming known as a little gang-related. And so we got together and we changed the name of our area of Canoga Park to Western Estates, and we sure do love it. And we fight for our neighborhood, don't we, Steve?
We do, yeah.
We really do. We have a gentleman on the line. His name is Lloyd, and he is in Alhambra. And Lloyd, I get the feeling that you fight for your neighborhood, too.
Yes, I do. Yes, I very much do, Ms. Dooley. And I, you understand, I'm not... You know, the reason why I called is to take exception to the characterization of the Minnesota State Police by yourself and given to understand your husband as the Gestapo, for which my generation has ample experience.
Well, you said you were in Korea.
I said I was in Korea, yes. And if you will allow me to finish, I said I was in Korea.
Okay, and you finished?
Yes, I finished that thought. But that has nothing to do with the Gestapo.
Well, wait, the Gestapo is in Korea.
No, the Gestapo was not in Korea. And if you'll allow me to finish, I'll tell you what the connection is.
All right, go ahead, please.
The connection is that when I was in Korea, and I remember going into a village that the Chinese had just been in. Now, I was attached to the United States Marine Corps as a Morse operator. And this is very common, that Navy personnel will be attached to Marine units, land-based, in case there is an area of operation that Navy personnel can handle much more efficiently.
Are we going to get to this story, or?
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm so sorry, Mr.
My name is Bone. Do you mind if my name's Bone?
Your name is Bone.
No, my name is not Bone.
Well, you said it was Bone.
No, I did not. I was going to say my name is Bonafide, and I'm telling this.
Well, you're sounding very emotional. I just want you to get to it.
I'm getting to it. I wanted to tell you, if I'm in the Navy and I'm walking around on solid ground, does that bother you? At all?
No, it doesn't bother. No, I'm not bothered by Art, Steve.
No, I'm not bothered.
It doesn't bother you, huh?
No.
Why wouldn't it?
Well, why is your voice cracking like that?
I'm getting frustrated.
Why is it supposed to bother me?
Because the Navy is on water. So if I'm on land with the Marines...
Sir, don't yell. Just tell us very calmly... What you want to say?
I'm trying to say that I was with a Marine. I was with a Marine platoon it's not China. They look like Chinese. Oh, I forgot the war I was in.
Well, what? Why don't you hold on? All right.
Well,
just hold on, sir. We'll put you on hold right now, and you hold on. All right.
So what are you going to do?
We're going to put you on hold, Steve. We'll. So hold on.
I'm going to put you on hold. All right. Can you hold?
Yes, I can hold if you're putting me on hold.
We'll put you on hold now, so just hold on.
But I have to go to the bathroom. I've been holding it.
You can hold it when we put you on hold. You don't have to hold it no more.
Oh, my goodness. That is a great example, and we've just put that man on hold. That's a great example of how a man is all messed up, you know?
Yeah, I understand what he did. And I understand how he wants to be, but...
Yeah!
Good Lord, what was that?
I just broke off a hold. Now let me tell you something.
You broke off of hold? No, No, that's not possible.
Yes, yes, it most certainly is. I break off a hold when anybody has the gall to put me on hold without my permission. I break off a hold. I bust off of it and break out of it.
Well, you sound extremely emotional.
You better believe it. The fact...
I put him on hold again. Can you keep him on hold this time?
I don't know if I'll try and do it.
What we're trying to say here, folks, is I know that that man fought for the United States of America, and God bless him for doing that.
Hey, hey! Yeah, how do you like me now?
Well, this just won't do. I've got to say what I've got to say.
Well, it's just too bad for you, because the people that... the.
You got him on hold now.
Yeah, I think so. I needed a Phillips screwdriver.
Okay. We'll be back for the final hour here. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for that man busting off a hold and everything like that. We'll see to it that that doesn't happen again. You can trust in me. Bobby Dooley, I'm sorry. I'm very nervous, but I'm having such a good time. And we'll be back with more of a discussion on how we can, you know, I don't know, just everything.
I'm the Bobby Dooley. I mean the Bobby Dooley show.
It's Bobby Dooley. It's not Bobby Dooley because...